This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. A couple of days after giving birth to her third child, Amy Martin said she'd suddenly felt like she'd been hit by a truck. She was overwhelmed with anxiety and terrified of the responsibility for her newborn. Amy wasn't eating or sleeping. She was barely talking. Her family urged her to get help, and she found it at a brand new program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, aimed specifically at women suffering from postpartum depression. 2.5 years later, Amy and her son Avery are doing great, and that program at UNC Hospital has grown into the first inpatient psychiatric unit in the nation dedicated to postpartum depression. The new unit opened this week, and we're pleased to have Amy Martin with us in the studio, along with Dr. Samantha Meltzer-Brody, director of the Perinatal Psychiatric Program at UNC Center for Women's Mood Disorders. I want to welcome both of you to the program. Good to have you here.
Hello. Thank you. We're glad to be here.
And Dr. Meltzer-Brody, you have been on this program before. You were here back in 2008 when the pilot for this program got started. The one that opened this week is sort of the full-blown version. How is it different?
Well, the main reason it's different is that it is a freestanding unit. In 2008, we created programming for patients, but we were sharing space with other patients on a psychiatry unit at UNC. And through a lot of hard work and a lot of collaboration with wonderful colleagues throughout UNC, we were able to build a freestanding unit.
And how is it different? You said it's freestanding, it's separate. In terms of the care, I mean, why did you change that? Why not share the space?
What we found was that women during pregnancy and postpartum have very unique needs. And pregnancy and delivery and the time in the first few months postpartum is a very special time. It's also a very vulnerable time for women. And the care they need and the issues that can come up really required specialty services. In particular, what we found was for women with postpartum depression, which affects 10 to 15% of all women in general. It's common. It's actually one of the most common complications of childbirth, although often not discussed. Most women will do well in an outpatient setting. But for those women most severely affected, who really need the safety of an inpatient unit, what we needed to provide was very specific services for them during this vulnerable time and to have an environment that was conducive for having their infants be present for a good part of the time, too.
When you talk about postpartum depression, is this something on a spectrum? We know there are a lot of emotional changes that happen with women. Is it simply a matter of degree, or is it something fundamentally different?
Postpartum depression is something that's fundamentally different. Many women will have what's often described as the baby blues or emotional changes. Certainly, birth and delivery can be a very physically and emotionally draining experience. People are exhausted, depending on the support systems at home, whether you have a baby that's a good sleeper or eater, there's any number of issues at play. But for those with postpartum depression, the symptoms are more severe and persistent. In general, people will not be able to enjoy the baby. They will have a lot of anxiety, low mood, tearfulness, difficulty functioning. Oftentimes, these symptoms can be treated as an outpatient, as I mentioned. For some women, though, it becomes really overwhelming. They're not able to eat well, sleep. They're not able to take care of themselves or their baby. And at the worst, the people that require hospitalization will have thoughts of wanting to hurt themselves. Suicidal ideation can have thoughts of wanting to hurt the baby. The most severe form is something called postpartum psychosis, which only affects less than 1% of women, but is obviously very devastating when it happens.
Amy, tell us about your experience. You gave birth to your third child. You had depression before.
Yes.
And you had some baby blues with the first two children, but this was different for you.
This was very different. I after giving birth to Avery, after a very difficult pregnancy, I felt okay until about 3 days after his birth. And then, like you said, it felt like I had just been hit by a truck. And there I went from feeling okay to not functioning at all. I wasn't eating. The thought of food just didn't even occur to me. My mother and my aunt, who had come to take care of me and help me out, they would try to get me to eat, but it wasn't working. I wasn't sleeping. I would take care of the baby when he needed something. I would change his diaper. I would feed him, but I wasn't taking care of myself. I had to be told to shower. I had to be told to eat. I had to be told to go to sleep.
Whose idea was it to get help, to ask for help?
Well, mostly it was me, considering that I had had a history of depression for a very long time. I knew that what I was feeling was not good, and it was very different. And between me and my aunt, we had spoken with the doctors at my OB's office, the pediatrician's office, who then put me in touch with the unit at UNC. Someone had called me, spoke to me, asked me what my symptoms were, and they told me of this. I said, "This is perfect. I need help. Just tell me where to go, and I will get it, because I couldn't take care of myself." And you know, by not being able to take care of myself, I couldn't take care of my children properly. And my job as a mother is to be the best mother I possibly can.
But it did mean you were going to be hospitalized again. Was that
it? Did it did, which concerned me a small part. But I knew that my children were being taken care of. I knew that they were in good hands, and as much as I did not want to be away from them, I knew that this was what I had to do in order to take care of myself. I needed to focus and concentrate on getting myself better, whether it meant spending time away from them or not. It was important that I did what I needed to do to get better, so that when I did go home, I was the mother that they needed and the person that they needed me to be, that I could take care of them and focus on them rather than worrying about myself and how I was feeling.
Dr. Meltzer Brody, Amy was among your first patients in that pilot program. Tell us about the setting and what your goals were for the program at that time.
Absolutely. I think it's important to emphasize that the story of our inpatient unit occurring is really a story about the collaborative spirit at UNC and our focus on innovation and really doing the right thing to help patients. The program started as an outpatient program in 2005. I opened a small clinic. In 2006, my chairman and the director of UNC Center for Women's Mood Disorders, David Rubino, came, an internationally recognized expert in this area. And we quickly realized that when our patients in our outpatient program became very sick and needed the services of an inpatient setting, that we needed to do right by them and to develop a program that was going to meet their needs on the inpatient setting. In 2008, working with two wonderful colleagues, Elizabeth Bullard and Chris Raines, Chris is a nurse practitioner, Elizabeth is another psychiatrist, along with the support of nurses and the director of psychiatry nursing, Eileen Spall, we opened a pilot program. We shared space with the geropsychiatry patients, and we were able to pilot our programming, determining what types of psychotherapy interventions were going to be best suited for this patient population. We were able to have the nursing staff buy in. The director of inpatient psychiatry, Dr. Hill, was enormously generous with allowing us to pilot our program on the unit. What we found was that it wasn't a good fit for a lot of the needs of our patients, that we needed separate space to do the type of programming we wanted, that it was difficult for the infants to visit and spend the time visiting in a safe and supportive setting. And we also found that there were many, many patients that wanted to come in and that really desired and needed to have a separate space. And so we were able to move forward with the support of hospital administration, again, my chairman, and Dr. Mary Tanger, director of nursing at UNC, that supported this effort.
Well, Amy, what happened to you once you were hospitalized? Tell us about your experience there.
Well, at first I was a little apprehensive because I did not know what to expect. It was a bit scary at first, knowing that I was being hospitalized for a psychiatric disorder, and knowing the stigma that usually goes along with that. It's so important for women to know that this is a real problem. It's something that you can get help for. It's something that can go away. It's something that can be treated.
Well, tell me, what were the treatments and what started to happen? How were those therapies helpful for you, and what were they?
The most important thing, I believe, was getting sleep. I was so sleep deprived that I, as anyone who's been up for more than 24 hours at a time, you're not thinking clearly, and it's just a surreal feeling. And just by being able to be left alone for a while and get some sleep, knowing that people were going to take care of me if I needed something, was vastly important. The nurses were so helpful, coming in to talk to me, ask me how I was feeling, ask me what I needed. The doctors would come in every day and ask how I was doing. There was some medication and that helped a lot. There was individual therapy that I received from Chris Raines, and she was just wonderful in helping me to sort out my feelings in both aspects. Both the medical and the therapeutic side are both important. I think you can't have one without the other, especially considering the severe case that I had.
Well, and let me ask Dr. Meltzer-Brody just on that point. I guess that's what distinguishes this from simply a badly needed vacation.
Absolutely. And that's a really important point because, you know, although many new mothers certainly have moments when that would sound very nice, this is completely different. And so I think women suffering from postpartum depression are impaired, can be impaired in the same way as if you have the flu, 103 fever, and you're in bed and can't get up. I mean, I think that mental illness, when it's that debilitating, is as overwhelming as physical illness in that way. Our new unit that just opened Monday, we are so excited about it because what we now can do in very separate and private space is to have a wide variety of programming. We now have psychoeducation, so we really try and educate patients about what's going on. Many people have no idea what happened to them. We have partner-assisted therapy, so we are working with wonderful psychologists at UNC, Dr. Anna Brandon, to bring in state-of-the-art therapy to involve the partner, if there is a partner, to get them on board. We have wonderful people, Dr. Mary Croson and her team, doing mother-infant attachment therapy to really help the mother with infant bonding issues. We have a great team of people working on biofeedback and anxiety management, Tammy Burkett and her team doing that. We have prenatal and postpartum yoga, someone who's specifically trained to help really add a mindfulness base to this. The nurses on the unit are spectacular, enormously supportive. The doctors, the psychiatrist, Dr. Bullard and others rounding on the unit, our job is to really integrate state-of-the-art medication treatment as needed to target the anxiety and the insomnia that can be so overwhelming that it's really excruciating, while really integrating psychotherapy to help people feel better and to regain their you know, sea legs, if you will, and to go back home.
What's the average stay for a mother in this unit?
The average stay in general has been in our pilot 7 to 14 days. Some are shorter, some are longer.
This makes so much sense. We've studied postpartum depression for a long time now. You say 10 to 15% of new mothers suffer from postpartum depression. Why is it that in 2011, or if you want to go back to 2008, North Carolina, University of North Carolina is the first in the nation to have such a unit?
It's a great question. Historically, in Europe, in Great Britain, all over Europe, and in Australia, New Zealand, there have been what they call mother-baby units. It's standard of care. I think that in many other places, what we often refer to as the fourth trimester, which would be the first 3 months postpartum, is a very vulnerable time. And other countries have really focused on this time period, looking at issues around lactation. My colleague, Dr. Allison Stubbe at UNC, an OB, really is focused on that issue. Also looking at maternal mood and bonding. In the United States, there has been less of an issue really on focusing on this fourth trimester per se. And it was really difficult to gain traction. Other places in the country 20 or 30 years ago started outpatient programs and research programs. But there was so much that was unknown, it was really difficult to figure out how to develop services. I think why now at UNC in 2011? I think we're very fortunate in that the field has evolved, that we have great data to inform treatment. And I think it was a great coming together of people dedicated to making this happen. The timing was right. Again, David Rubino and Eileen Spall, Dr. Mary Tanjay, Dr. Hill, Dr. Bullard, Chris Raines, and myself, just a lot of collective energy coming together to push this forward. And I think we had demonstrated that people really wanted this and wanted to come. Just to add one other piece, the Department of OBGYN at UNC has been so enormously collaborative and supportive. That is not the case many other places in the country.
You know, but you pointed out something. We heard it in our last segment on community health centers as well, the importance of research and data and all of the research that's being done all over the country in public universities, private universities and labs, all this research, much of it publicly funded, that gets us to this place. It's a kind of a tragedy to think if you lose some of that, what else then is lost? It takes years and years and decades of compiling this research to come to this conclusion.
Absolutely. And this is an area there is still enormous need for research and funding. We're in increasingly a very difficult funding climate, but there's a lot of committed people at UNC focused on providing, you know, cutting edge research and the best clinical care that we can.
Amy, how much did you know about postpartum depression before you went in, and what did you learn as a result?
Well, I had experienced some postpartum depression with the birth of my two older children. I had known about it. There were small blurbs in the What to Expect books about it, but it hadn't really gone into much detail. I didn't really know what it was that I was experiencing. I knew what I had experienced before, but this time was much different. It was just a complete, overwhelming, anxious period of time. I honestly did not know what to do. I had, for the first time in my life, experienced extremely severe panic attacks, and worrying about, you know, how am I going to take care of myself? How am I going to take care of my children? Am I going to forget to feed the baby? Am I going to forget to change his diaper? Am I going to just leave him at home one day and just completely forget about him? And I was so worried about these things that it incapacitated me.
Did that end for you? Tell us about how you came out of it when you were released, what that period was like. Was it a sort of an overnight experience for you, or did it take a long time to really climb back?
Well, it took a while, and definitely the person that I was leaving the program at UNC compared to the person I was when I entered the program was like night and day. The nursing staff had taken a picture of me when I entered the unit, and when I left, they gave me the picture, and it was a completely different person. I didn't recognize myself.
Dr. Melter Brody, what happens to women who don't have this? I mean, do they eventually, even if they had good support, say at home and didn't seek help, I mean, do you get through this, or what happens, and how do you get through it without this kind of support?
Well, the most devastating thing that can happen is that people commit suicide. And that happens infrequently, but it happens, and is the most devastating outcome of untreated postpartum depression. The other thing that can happen is that people go on for years very impaired and are not able to enjoy their children. They're not able to parent the way they want to. They have a great deal of suffering. Their children are at risk for not doing very well and having increased risk of other psychiatric illness. It can take a horrible toll on the marriage and on the couple, and it becomes an entire horrible illness for the family. I think sometimes the really horrifying stories you hear in the news are about women who have postpartum psychosis become psychotic and have thoughts of killing their children, or in the story of Andrea Yates, she was psychotic and systematically drowned all five of her children. Their family didn't believe in seeking mental health care, and she didn't get mental health care. The most important thing is that this is something that can be diagnosed and it can be treated. And in my work, and for the thing I share with all my colleagues, people get better. I'm in clinic 2 days a week. I do outpatient work. Nothing makes me happier than seeing people come back looking well with their babies. It's a very, very gratifying area. And I hope that this is something that will catch on nationally and be something that is offered as routine mental health care as part of taking care of women during the transition to motherhood.
I want to thank both of you for being on the program today. Samantha Melter Brody, director of the Perinatal Psychiatry Program at UNC Center for Women's Mood Disorders, and Amy Martin, the mother of three, including her youngest 2.5-year-old Avery. All doing great. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Frank.
UNC's up next, The Family Fang. Kevin Wilson talks about his first novel. A pair of performance artist parents don't know that they have crossed the line. You'll hear it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.